glad that you came to be with us. Wanted to say a special welcome to the Johnson family. They're visiting, so we're glad to have you all with us today. They're from another really good church, Keystone Independent Baptist. They're visiting us today. Glad to have you with us. Just take your hymnals and turn to number 796. 796.
Now I am on my way.
us all to be. All right. A few announcements this morning. First one, this is just a brief reminder to everybody who comes by here when it's not a service time. Please make sure that all the doors are locked before you leave. We just want to make sure that everything is secure. So if you come by here and you have a key to the building, just make sure it's always locked, okay? So just a little reminder about that. We had to make a change in plans here today. We were originally scheduled to have an evening service tonight, but the Andersons have to leave earlier today due to having to get back to North Carolina to move out of their place where they're currently living. So, and they have people lined up to help them tomorrow. So they need to get back there in time to take care of that. So we're going to have our questions for Brother Dan following this service rather than tonight like we were originally scheduled. So those of you who are visiting, if you'd like to remain and hear the questions, there's certainly nothing wrong with that. But if you choose to go, that's certainly okay too. So that's the change that we had to make. And last but not least, we've mentioned this before, but Pastor Reddy is our missionary over in India. And we've been supporting him a long time. But over there, the custom is very different than how we do it here. Normally, when there's a marriage here in America, usually it's the bride's family that pays for the wedding with help, if needed, from others. Over in India, it's completely the opposite. The groom's parents pay for the wedding over in India. Well, as a missionary pastor, Pastor Reddy doesn't have the money to take care of that. His son Sam is going to be married coming up real soon. So we're concluding a special love offering for him to help him with that need today. If you would like to contribute to that, take one of the envelopes there in the back where our offering boxes are. Put your gift in it and mark on it Pastor Reddy Wedding. You have to make sure wedding is on there. If it just says Pastor Reddy, we'll think that you're contributing to his normal monthly support. So if you want to contribute to that for the wedding, just take one of those envelopes, like I said, and put your gift in it and mark on it for Pastor Reddy Wedding. Okay? So I believe that's all the announcements. We will take the time this morning real briefly. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Our memory verses that we've been looking at are Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. So we'll give you just a moment to turn there, and we'll say those two verses together. Yes, Sam?
Well, maybe I didn't hear you. I don't know if you mentioned that.
I neglected to mention that. I apologize. Yes. Like we do for any of our special speakers who come each week, we are doing a special love offering for the Andersons. The box there is in the back, the light blue box. You can contribute to that too. Thank you, Sam. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Let's say them together. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. All right. Let's take our English once again and turn to number 801. Stand, please, if you're able to, as we sing this song.
I see no storm.
It's number 824. It's all the way in the very back of the hymn book, beyond the index. 824.
Thank you. my strength when I am weak, and you are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all, seeking you as a precious jewel, and Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all.
Amen. Appreciate that song. Appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to exalt him and lift him up today. It's such a blessing to see each one once again here today. And I'd like you, if you would please, this morning to take your Bibles, the book of Romans, chapter number 13. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, as we think about this morning, tomorrow our nation set aside as Memorial Day. We want to give honor to whom honor is due. Honor to whom honor is due. And of course, Memorial Day is called that. It's a day to remember. It's a day for us to remember those who have served our country. And we want to thank you if you've served our country today. And for those of you maybe that have lost a family member in the line of duty, we thank you as well. We know that the sacrifices that are made by our military and by those in public safety as well, that's very great. And we don't fully understand that sacrifice as well. But we also consider the ultimate sacrifice that our Lord Jesus Christ made for us. I'm so thankful for what he has done for us. Romans chapter 13, if you would stand together as you read the text in honor of the text of Scripture this morning. We'll read the whole chapter. We'll focus on some key verses specifically, but this entire chapter specifically this morning, Romans chapter 13. The Bible says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must need be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Let's pray, and then after we pray, we'll be seated, and we'll look at this message, "Honor to whom honor is due." Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to be gathered here today in your house. We thank you, Lord, for the people of God. And Lord, we just thank you for the privilege we've had to sing praise unto you. We do thank you for the worthy name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above all names, Lord, that we want to exalt and magnify today. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to truly honor you today. Help us, Lord, also to honor those that have served or those that have paid the price that we could have the freedom we still yet have in America today. And we thank you for that. We ask you to bless. I pray if there be one here today that does not know you as their personal Savior, that today would be their day of salvation. And Lord, for those of us that know you, help us, Lord, to be drawn nearer to you. Help us, Lord, to lean on the everlasting arms and allow you to help us to do what you want us to do, to be a witness and testimony, to live for you, to learn your word, to grow closer to you each and every day. Help us, we pray. We'll ask you and we'll give you the glory. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we begin again this morning, we just want to remember how important it is for us to give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, but also for us to honor those who serve and those who have served, and of course those who paid that ultimate price and have died for our freedoms today. Now, traditionally, Memorial Day has been set aside to honor our military, but especially since 9/11, we don't just honor them, but we honor also police and firefighters and those who would protect us, military protecting us from foreign invaders and police protecting us and firefighters there and others that would be involved from those who would have wrong motives or wrong actions. And we want to notice five key components today concerning giving honor to whom honor is due as found in Romans chapter 13. And for these, we want to consider number one, first of all, if you're taking notes today, the sacredness of their work. I want us to consider this morning that those that are involved in government, that those who are involved in military, that those who are involved in some form of these higher powers that we're speaking of in Romans 13, they are set up by God and not just set up by man. Notice, let's look together at the first couple of verses here. The Bible says that every soul, that means everyone, be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, that powers that be are ordained of God. In other words here, no power, no establishment has been set up except that God allowed it and that God ordained government and put it in place for His purpose and His plan. Notice verse 2 tells us, "For whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, he says. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. The work that our government does, the work that our military men and women do, the work that our those that are involved in various different capacities, our public safety officers and so forth, that is sacred work. That is work that is set up by Almighty God. The Bible says here in verse 1 that these powers that be are ordained of God. Now, I think about, for example, the police officers today. If a person in America, and how sad it is, we see how many more people resisting the ordinance of God in that way, resisting the police, shooting police officers, just how frequently that's happening nowadays, how sad that that is. There's no respect that these individuals are not just set up by man, but that God has placed them there for the protection of the people and for the punishment of the wicked and for the keeping of that which is good, being a minister for good. If a person in America, though, resists the police officers, then they're not just resisting man, and they're not just resisting government, but they're in fact resisting God himself, I believe, as this passage of Scripture is saying. This is very serious business. As the Bible says in verse 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of not man, but of God. And so how serious it is that we in America remember how we need to honor and respect law enforcement officers, military personnel, and others that are serving our country. We need to remember that they are not just set in place by man, but God, in fact, has set up these ordinances and these laws and these individuals that we are to listen and to follow. Now, we do understand if they were to tell us to do something that goes against the Bible, ultimately our highest law is the Bible, and we are to obey God rather than men, as the Scripture says. If they were to go and tell us that we could not read our Bibles or tell people about Jesus or meet together in public worship, we, of course, would still do those things because we honor the Lord first. But if they're not following that which is displeasing to the Lord, we are to still show respect to them and show that, or the right attitude towards them, because they are ministers of God himself. Notice as the Bible continues, verse 4, he is the minister of God to thee for good. We want to honor those today, and if there's any in here today that have served our country in some way, we want to honor you today and thank you for your service as ministers of God, not just as servants of the United States of America and our country. Your work is very important. It is sacred work. And so we see the sacredness of their work, how serious it is that the Bible says that they're not a terror to good works. They're not here to try to stop. Now, of course, that's not the purpose of why they're set up, but instead to the evil, the Bible says. It says, wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? There ought to be that fear, as it were. If they're doing wrong, they should understand there will be punishment that will come. But if you do that which is good, the Bible says, thou shalt have praise of the same. And so how sacred this work that these individuals do. Number one, the sacredness of their work. But number two, we see the seriousness of their wrath. The seriousness of the wrath. Notice verses 4 and 5. The Bible says that he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. So in other words, if you're a law-abiding citizen doing that which is right, if you're seeking to please the Lord in your dealings and in your doings, then, you know, the Bible is saying here, you don't need to be afraid as far as of that. You don't need to be doing, you know, wrong. If you're not doing wrong, don't be afraid. But if you're doing that which is evil, verse 4 says, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. Now think about that. These men and women, they bear the sword. They bear these weapons, as it were, to punish those that are doing wrong. We need to listen to them, remembering once again that they are ministers of God. The preacher is not the only minister of God. The missionary is not the only minister of God. The evangelist is not the only minister of God. But those in military, those in public safety, those in government are ministers of God. Now, I think we know that, but many times I don't think if we're careful, we tend to forget that or don't understand the seriousness of this. Notice in verse 4, a few important words. Notice the words sword. Everybody see that? He beareth not the sword. You might underline that or just take note of that. Notice in vain, for he is the minister of God. Notice a revenger. All right, God uses them to take vengeance, as it were, here, a revenger. Notice, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. So these people are ones that God has set in place to take care of things. You know, it's not our job as people to go out there and take care of those things, but that's the job that God has set in place for those in military, those in government. Now, some people think, oh, well, police officers ought not have guns or ought not have weapons, or, you know, they should just, you know, just have, you know, just their whatever. I don't know what they think they ought to have. But the truth of the matter is, I believe it's biblical for them to have proper weapons, because notice, they bear the sword. They have that which they need to be able to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. If someone pull a gun on them, to provide even also protection. They're as a government, as a minister, as a police officer. And just think about this for just a moment. If all of a sudden, let's say President Trump said that all the military, everyone in the country, whether you're at home or whether you're abroad, you have the day off tomorrow. To all of you in military, everybody has the day off. No one has to come to work. No one has to serve today. Just do what you want. How many of you would understand that we'd have a mess if everybody knew about that? Hey, all the military, all the police officers are off today. Just do what you want today. Think about that. Our military, our police officers, our public safety officers do a great work of protecting us and fighting for our freedoms here today. And we need to respect and honor them and understand that they are there for a purpose, and they are an avenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. And notice it says, verse 5, wherefore must ye needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. We need to be subject. We need to listen to them. We need to be respectful towards them. And again, we may not agree with everything that they do and so forth, but we are to still have proper respect for them as ministers of the Lord in our nation today. Now, I want us to consider not only that, but the worthiness of their sacrifice. The worthiness of their sacrifice. So number one this morning, we consider, first of all, the sacredness of their work. Number two, we see the seriousness of the wrath. But number three, we see the worthiness of their sacrifice. The worthiness of their sacrifice. Notice verse 6. For this cause, he says here, pay ye tribute also. The Bible tells us here, we are to pay tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Notice, it says, pay ye tribute also. Why do we need to pay tribute to them? Why do we need to honor them today? Why do we need to show respect to these in government and those in military and all the different capacities of these ministers that God is speaking about? Why is it we're to show tribute to them today? Well, I believe because the Bible says that in verse 6 that they are God's ministers. Once again, reminding us that these are very ministers of God. Verse 4 reminds us that they're a minister of God to thee for good. Verse 6 says they are God's ministers. The Bible says that they are ordained of God. In verse number 1, these powers are ordained of God. And if we resist, we're resisting God himself. Why are we focusing on this? Well, because God focuses on it. He doesn't say it just one time. He says it just a few times in these 6 verses in the first part of Romans chapter 13. So I think we need to just pause and consider how serious it is that we properly respect and honor those that are in military, that are in law enforcement, that are serving in government in any capacity. We need to show that proper tribute unto them. Douglas MacArthur said this. He said, however horrible the incidents of war may be, the soldier who's called upon to give his life for his country is the noblest development of mankind. President Ronald Reagan said this. He said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same, or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what life was like in the United States when men were free. We see the attack upon freedoms today. We think about these bills that would go to try to silence Christians from teaching about the truths of the Word of God concerning the this homosexuality, this sodomy, and all these things that the Bible speaks clearly about. And really, though they would want you not to think that, for those that would realize what it's truly saying, it would really ban, as it were, the Bible from being truly being preached and taught as God's Word speaks. But Patrick Henry said, I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. We need to stand for our freedoms that we have in America today. As Henry Wadsworth Longfellow said, they are dead, but they live in each patriot's breast, and their names are engraven on honor's bright crest. Daniel Webster said, God grants liberty only to those who love it and are always ready to guard and defend it. President Roosevelt said, we would rather die on our feet than live on our knee. Someone else said, a veteran is someone who at one point in his life wrote a blank check made payable to the United States of America for an amount up to and including my life. We think about our veterans who've served. We think about those. Think about George Washington. Stephen Brumwell wrote in George Washington, Gentleman Warrior, he said, in June of 1775, George Washington accepted the task of commanding Congress's forces in the fight for American independence from Britain. He made the Continental Army a tough, well-trained force of professionals. He's the father of the U.S. Army. We want to honor these people today. We want to honor others. We think about those there in Roosevelt's time, the Rough Riders that joined the Army regiments and driving the armed forces from San Juan Heights. And we think about Patton, and we think of John F. Kennedy, who said, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. We could share many quotes and examples of individuals who've served in our country. And I want to thank God for them. And I believe that as the Bible tells us, for this cause pay you tribute also. And they are God's ministers. We need to honor them. We need to show love for them and show respect towards them. The Bible says, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And I think of men and women today. I think of one man I know of. He's passed on. He's on with the Lord now. He served in the military. And then for years after that, he served as a police officer. And we want to honor him today, even though he is with the Lord now today. But we see the worthiness of their sacrifice. I want us just to pause and consider that they are worthy of our honor to give unto them. And if there's anyone in here today that I'm sure I know of some, but if you have served, we thank you for your service today. And I think of just even one that we met there the other day, there in the Firestone place that served our country. And we just had opportunity to talk with them briefly and also give them one of these Stars and Stripes tracks here and talk with them just a little bit. What a blessing. But we want to see number four, the submission and honor we must give. So we consider number one today, the sacredness of their work in verses 1 through 4, that they are actually ministers of God. They're not just ministers of man, or they're just not ministers set up by man alone, but in fact set up by God himself for a specific purpose and a specific plan, and God has us to honor them for their work. We see the seriousness of the wrath, that they do bear the sword in vain, not in vain, but for a purpose to guard against those that would do that which is evil, as verse 4 reminds us as well, and verse 5 tells us that we must be subject unto them. We saw then the worthiness of their sacrifice in verse 6, we're to pay tribute unto them. But then also we consider, and this goes along with number 3 today, number 4 is the submission and the honor we must give. Notice verse 7, the Bible says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And when we think about those who fought and died for our freedoms, we think about those who've served our country, we want to give honor to them. Now, maybe you might sit here, maybe somebody might sit there, and maybe not somebody in here, but somebody in our world would say, well, I know a police officer, I know somebody that was really not that good of a person, maybe they were kind of, you know, whatever, and just have critical things to say about them. And I'm sure there are people that, you know, are not all they ought to be. But if you're sitting there maybe thinking that, or you know of somebody that would think that way, I want you to just pause and consider the context of this book and the background of this book and the book of Romans. Now, think about it. As Paul's writing, penning the book of Romans under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he was speaking of the Roman government. He was speaking of Roman soldiers. Now, he was saying you need to honor these soldiers and others who protect you. Now, we remember that the soldiers that crucified the Lord Jesus were Roman soldiers. We think about how Christians were killed in Roman Colosseums. We think about how others maybe were persecuted by even these individuals. But here, it tells us we're to still give honor. Now, if Paul said honor those in government as those that are set up by God and those in these higher powers, then I believe also certainly we can honor those as well that are serving in one capacity or another. Now, I'm grieved by the fact that many American soldiers today suffer with different challenges and PTSD and other things because of what they've gone through in the fight for our country. I believe it's sad that those are not being honored like they should be. They're being, some of them, laughed at or mistreated. What a shame that is. I think of those that are not being respected like they should be, and in fact, not just not respected, but also being killed because so-and-so doesn't like, you know, following the law or whatever the case may be. They're not being respected today. How sad that is. We need to stand up and say, I'm going to honor those that are serving in our country today. We want to honor them today. And that's what we want to set aside time to take a moment and honor them. But I want us to look lastly today, and this is the most important part of this message this morning. Number five is the Savior that we serve. We consider that these are set up, that there are many that have paid the ultimate price, that have died for our freedoms. We thank God for them. We want to honor them for those that are still alive, that are serving in our country, or those that have served. We want to honor you today and those of them today as well. But I want us to consider the Savior that we serve. Let's look at the remaining part of this chapter. The Bible says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, verse 9, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. So we consider this, we're to love those, we're to love others around us, and as we go on, as we consider, we're honoring those that have served, or those higher powers, we're to love them with the love of Christ. The Bible reminds us, verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. We're closer to the coming of Christ than we've ever been. The Bible says the night is far spent. Verse 12, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Now I want us to pause there for just a moment. As we honor those who've served and those who do serve today, we need to love those. We need to have the proper attitude towards those. We need to love other people as well. And that's the fulfilling, the Bible says, of the law. And we know that Jesus is coming back, and we know we need to put on the armor of light. Let me ask you today, have you put on that armor of light today? Have you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 14, which says, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof? Have you allowed the Lord Jesus to be exalted today in your life? Have you allowed the Lord Jesus to be high and lifted up in your life today? As we honor others, we're really honoring God. Because as we honor those that serve and those who have served, we're honoring God because He's the one that placed those people there. But we need to make sure we put on the Lord Jesus Christ and we walk in the armor of light. Because if we're striving one with another, if we're envying others, if we're walking dishonestly or not truthfully towards others, if we're in rioting and all those things, and that's so common in our world today, the drunkenness, the wantonness, this all these things, that's so common today. But instead, the Bible tells us if we're putting on the armor of light, that we're not going to be living in that way that the world lives. We're not going to be responding in that way. And the best way, I believe, for us to be thankful as well for the freedoms that we have and for those that fight for our freedoms and fight for the good and the right is for us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and to live in the way He'd have us to live and to really be thankful for what God has done for us. I'm thankful that Jesus paid the price for us. I'm thankful that He has given us an opportunity to have a home in heaven. I want to just pause right there. Have you ever put on Christ in that sense as far as trusting Him as your Savior? Do you know that if you were to die, that you would go to be with Jesus in heaven? I'm thankful that Jesus left all the splendors of heaven so that He could live on this earth and then die on the cross and be buried and rise again to pay the price for our sins. We know that we've sinned against a holy God. The Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Anything we think, say, or do that displeases God is sin. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. No one is right with God without the Lord Jesus Christ. No one can truly be pleasing to God without having the blood of Christ applied to their lives. The Bible reminds us in James 2:10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend at one point, he is guilty of all. If we do one thing wrong, we're guilty of breaking God's law. If we do one thing wrong, we're guilty of the law of God. And we know we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible goes on to tell us that the wages of sin is death. We understand sin as a punishment. It has a price that must be paid. And I'm so thankful that Jesus, though, paid the price. He tells us that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That first death, the wages of sin is death. That first death is a physical death. But the second death is spiritual death, which the Bible speaks of in Revelation chapter 20, where the Bible says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And I understand today that that I'm a sinner, but that Jesus Christ paid the price for my sins. And if I will accept the gift that He's offered to me and turn from my sins, turn to Jesus Christ as the satisfactory payment for my sins, that I can have the gift of eternal life. The Bible reminds us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. I'm thankful that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose again for us. And if you'll realize that your sin separates you from God, and your sin, you cannot get to heaven by your sin, but only by the blood of Jesus Christ can you have eternal life. Only by His righteousness being applied to your life that you can have the eternal life. God promises that He will save you and give you that eternal life. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, the Bible reminds us that it is not by works of righteousness which we have done. We can't get there on our own, but if we'll turn from sin and turn to Jesus as the payment for our sin, that we can have that eternal life and home in heaven with Him. And I want to just thank the Lord today for the fact that as we consider those that have paid the price and died for our freedoms, I'm thankful that Jesus Christ died for our salvation, that we could have eternal life. And so as we close today, we consider giving honor to whom honor is due. We saw the sacredness of their work. That those that are military, those in public safety, those that are in government of some form, they are not just set up by men, but in fact, God places them there and for a purpose. Sometimes it's there to, there's judgment that comes or other reasons. God even uses those that are not pleasing to Him to accomplish His plan. Sometimes we don't always understand that, but they're ministers of God. We saw the seriousness of the wrath. We saw the worthiness of their sacrifice, that they're worthy servants of God, worthy of the respect and the submission and the honor that we must give to them. And we thank God for all they do for our country. And we notice the Savior we serve. We ultimately want to remember that sacrifice that Christ paid for us, that we could have eternal life. And let me ask you today, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you know that heaven is your home? Do you know if Jesus were to come back today, do you know where you would go? Would you be in heaven or not? And if you haven't received Christ, let me encourage you to trust Him today. Let me encourage you to take care of that today and receive the free gift of salvation. He can save you today. Just trust in Him. Accept His offer that He has given that you may have eternal life if you'll turn to Him. You can't get there by yourself. You can't work your way there. But I'm so thankful for the fact that though Jesus, He loved us so much to die for us, I'm so thankful that we can also honor those who serve. And if you're a Christian, let me encourage you to take some time, even if you see somebody that served or you know somebody that served or you have opportunity in this next day, not just to take a moment and maybe some of you might have off of work or maybe some of you might have, you know, a picnic or something of that nature, whatever you might do. Let me encourage you, the main thing you need to do is to just pause and thank somebody for their service and maybe share the opportunity. Maybe you'll have the opportunity to maybe give them one of these tracts or something similar and talk to them about, hey, you know, I appreciate what you did for our country and I just want to share with you what Jesus did for us, that we could have eternal life. We could have a home in heaven when that time comes that we leave this world. Let's ask God to help us, that we would be a faithful witness and that we would be thankful for those that serve and those that have served here as ministers of the Lord in our country today. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we do thank You for this time we've had to look at this passage in Romans chapter 13. Just barely scratched the surface of some of these details. But I pray that if nothing else, we take from this message how important it is that we respect and honor those that are in our government and military and other different areas. Help us, Lord, to give honor like we should. Lord, though they may not respond and do the right things, Lord, we do know that we are to give them honor and respect. Lord, even as we see here in this passage of Scripture, Lord, that Paul face difficult challenges that maybe have the hands of those that he was telling us here to give honor to. And I pray you'd help us just to give true honor and reverence and respect to those. But Lord, ultimately, help us to give honor to you. Lord, you deserve our fear, our godly fear, Lord. You deserve all glory and praise, as the songs even were sung today, giving you the glory. Lord, I pray that that would be our ultimate goal from this message today, that we would say we want to honor those who serve, but we want to ultimately honor you in that. And that's the reason why we're honoring others, because we're honoring you, dear Lord. Help us, we pray. I pray that there be any needs, spiritual needs. Lord, I pray that if there's any that don't know you as Savior, that they'd come during this time of invitation and we'll have somebody come and talk with them, Lord. Lord, if there's any with other spiritual needs, maybe they'd like to come and pray, maybe pray for somebody with a need, whatever the case may be. Lord, I pray bless now this invitation time as we would sing a song and praise unto you. Pray bless it. Do you be glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
State our hymn books and turn to number 499. All of us who have trusted the Lord Jesus as our Savior have been called to be His soldiers. So the message of this song is, am I a soldier? Let's stand as we sing. 499. Service this morning was a blessing to you. We'll be dismissed now.